from LPM.
Louisville Public Media.
Support for LPM podcasts comes from the Eye Care Institute and Butchertown Clinical Trials, where they strive for diversity, equity, and inclusion within their staff, patients, and clinical trial participants. To learn more, visit butchertown.clinic.
From Louisville Public Media.
Support for this podcast comes from KTC Building, seamlessly blending the classic character of older structures with 21st century amenities and technologies. Residential and commercial remodeling projects of any size. Details at KyleThompsonCompany.com.
I'm Jonice Franklin.
And I'm Amina Elahi.
And this is Here Today, a podcast about Louisville's changing West.
What we do not have is a plan for the people who live there now.
They don't really have a plan to deal with that impact.
They have a plan to put on the show.
Is it possible to revitalize a neighborhood without displacing anyone?
What's the plan?
It's impractical for someone to kind of put a lens of perfection on a city as if there is some master plan where everything is figured out in advance.
We sat down with Louisville Mayor Greg Fisher to find out.
You know, the question is, you know, how do you do it? One of the challenges in Russell in particular is a low home ownership rate compared to the rest of the city. So how do you stabilize enough people in the community with home ownership so that that sense of place leads to consistent building of the services and around that? So our down payment assistance program has had tremendous response to it. And what we've found is there's plenty of people that have the ability to pay rent, and they have been paying rent for decades, but they don't have the money for the down payment that then allows them to start building equity. So that's what the down payment assistance program does that the city's part of. Other factors that come into play are how we use some of our community development block grant money on helping people with home ownership repairs, where they want to stay in their house, but they don't have the $2,000, $5,000 to repair their home. So we allocate money for people to do that and then put a property tax moratorium in place so that they don't have to pay on the increased value of their home. That also then stops predatory buyers from coming into a community and buying those homes up and then, you know, being landlords that may not be as responsible. So those are a few of the areas.
So what he's saying is there's down payment assistance to help renters become owners.
But does increased home ownership protect a population from displacement? That's something we talked about in our last episode.
For some people, depending on who you are and what your financial circumstances are, home ownership can help you be more stable.
Right, because in the case that you are a homeowner who can afford to maintain and pay for all the expenses associated with your home, you could potentially be more in charge of your own living situation versus being a renter where your landlord could determine a lot of things, including how long they want to rent to you.
But when you own a home, if you're still struggling financially, if you happen to be a homeowner who's living paycheck to paycheck, owning a home and being able to afford to own a home is more than paying the mortgage.
Right. It's the other expenses that go into it. It's your property taxes. It's your insurance. It's the unexpected expenses that pop up from time to time. And there's also the fact that the economy shifts. You know, it's on a cycle. And so there are booms and busts. And if you are going through a bust and you have all of these expenses to deal with, but you don't have a financial cushion, it can make it a lot harder to withstand that, which is why experts say that home ownership under the right circumstances can be great, but it doesn't necessarily equate to stability.
Right. And if you are already struggling financially, but you do own your home, something changes in your neighborhood and the property values go up, you very well may not be able to afford the property taxes for that home.
Right. And I think the point to remember about that, too, is that depending on that whole financial picture, like you're talking about, even a small increase in property taxes, what may be small to some people, could actually put you over the edge because you're, you know, you have to determine how much of your overall budget you can put into housing. And if you are low income, then you're more likely to put more of your budget into housing than someone who brings in more money. So it's all just a matter of trying to find a balance, and any small tweak in that could throw you off.
And the last thing the mayor mentioned in that answer was the property tax moratorium when people make improvements on their homes.
Laura Grabowski is the director of the Vacant and Public Property Administration for the city. She explained that home improvement-based moratorium.
So the property tax moratorium that we have on the books is actually related to rehabbing your property. It's a deal where if you're going to put a certain amount of money into your property for 5 years, you don't pay, they freeze your local property taxes. Generally, people don't know about it, so we're trying to make sure, especially through some of our federal housing programs, that people do know about it and get signed up for that.
There is a statewide rule called the homestead exemption. It reduces the property tax of people 65 and older and people who are disabled.
But what some advocates would like to see is a dedicated moratorium on property tax for every homeowner in West Louisville. That would mean that in the West End, property taxes are frozen at their current rates. Then, when property values go up, the property taxes won't go up for a certain number of years.
But that won't work in Louisville. The mayor talked about it during our interview.
Everybody wants to see the value of their home increase, but nobody wants to see their taxes increase as well. So we're handcuffed quite a bit by the state in this area in terms of what we can do. So
you're saying you're handcuffed by the state in terms of what exactly?
Moratorium on freezing the taxes that you're paying on a home value right now.
Back to Laura Grabowski.
So property taxes generally go to three entities, the state, the city, and the school board. We don't control the school board or the state portion of those taxes. So where we can come in and make local changes, even to the moratorium, we don't have any power to change the state at the state or the school board tax level.
Other strategies are also somewhat out of the city's hands.
One of the issues or challenges is minimum wage. Minimum wage has not changed in over a decade. So, you know, the question is, should people have a living wage versus a minimum wage? So many of these problems, the root, obviously, is poverty. People don't make enough money. So then they go into various federal programs to, be supplemented versus just having a decent wage in the first place. And there's many countries in this earth that have living wages. And, you know, the economy figures that out. So that's one area when we tried to increase our minimum wage that we were overruled by the state in doing so. We're working with the state on some of these broader property tax moratorium issues and have not had success on that. But that's a primary tool that you see in many cities. Rent control is another example. So it's part of our intergovernmental affairs strategy that we'll keep working on.
We asked the mayor how that process works.
You can move different initiatives through different committees at different speeds depending on the interest of that committee chair and the committee members as well. And so if they're not interested, things just kind of sit for a while. But then you keep at them, and hopefully the makeup of that committee changes over time, or they just see it as a bigger issue. One of the challenges that we do have is that Louisville is a very different animal than much of the rest of the state. Let's say, okay, so if we're worried about, let's say, gentrification issues in and around downtown Louisville, there's not many other areas in the state, maybe with the exception of Metro Lexington and Northern Kentucky area, that would see that as a problem. So in order for legislators to move on an issue, enough of them need to see that as a problem in their home areas or understand the significance of it to a city like Louisville, to say, we're going to give time to this particular problem versus the 100 other requests that committee might have to work on.
The mayor said it's not too late to work on the issues.
What we're seeing is increases in the purchase price of homes. We're seeing some rents go up. We're not seeing massive effects yet. I mean, this is why we're trying to work on it right now, because, you know, Beecher will be completed over the next several years, and it's why we're working with foundations like Keenan Charitable Trust and some of our local foundations from James Graham Brown and CENS and many others are also interested in these issues. So, you know, we're doing all these programs simultaneously to hope that it meets the goal of regeneration without displacement.
One wrinkle that's specific to Louisville is the current condition of the city budget.
The city budget is under a lot of pressure due to increased employee health care and pension costs, which forced leaders to cut more than $25 million from this year's budget. But this isn't the last set of cuts we're going to see, because those expenses are expected to continue rising over the next several years. We asked the mayor how the shortfall in the city's budget would affect West Louisville.
Well, I mean, the very nature of a government budget is to provide basic services and then assist people that need the most help, right? So that tends to be the most low-income people in the community. So when you have the kind of budget challenges that we're having right now, there will be impact on people all throughout the city, but particularly felt the most by low-income areas of the community. So that's one aspect of it. There's another aspect of it that would say there's less money to invest in different parts of the city in quality of life investments. So you could say, for instance, Waterfront Park Phase 4, I would like to move forward with that. It would be a great amenity for West Louisville. Now, some people might say, well, if that park's there, home values are going to go up. So let's not do a park because people's home values are going to go up. I mean, that's not the way that you kind of build a city as well. So you've got to kind of work all these issues at the same time, state issues, investment issues, tax issues, assistance issues, like we spoke about with down payment help and others, or foundation help comes into this as well, so that you kind of hope we're meeting this goal of regeneration without displacement.
One way that the city is trying to cope with the shortfall in the budget this year and in future years will be by raising property taxes in Jefferson County, which local authorities are able to raise 4% without public approval.
During our interview, we asked the mayor what the effects of that might be.
Are you concerned about that? Where there's already, you know, we're already seeing an increase. And not, I mean, it's not just Western Louisville neighborhoods. Obviously, we're seeing other areas where property values have gone up quite a bit. I mean, Germantown is the obvious example, yeah. I think. Do you worry about the effect on both homeowners and renters of the taxes going up, the property taxes going up?
Well, the main thing, you know, you worry about is you want to have a vibrant economy, right? So the economy's growing, unemployment levels are at almost an all-time low, so that there's people have resources to be able to, you know, pay for the cost of living and increases in the cost of living. So fortunately, we're seeing progress both with employment and wages in the city. So, you know, increasing cost burdens are going to be part of that. Where it worries me the most is when somebody's on a fixed income. You know, it could be a senior or person with a disability. And those oftentimes are the biggest challenges we have.
Sure. Some of your critics that we've spoken to say that you don't have a plan to prevent displacement. What would you say to that?
I would say that all of this is very dynamic. The tools that we have, we're implementing. These programs also take time. And big projects don't work in a sequence because they would never get done. You know, so it's not like if you tried to sequence this all out, it would be 20 years by the time things happen. So we have got a big city with lots of services, lots of places to live, lots of employment opportunities, lots of education opportunities. So this is the nature of a city and a large population in any place. So what you want to make sure that you have is a government that is aware of these issues and working these issues with all the different tools that we have to place. So it's impractical or for someone to kind of put a lens of perfection on a city as if there is some master plan where everything is figured out in advance. That the dynamism of a city of almost 800,000 people, whether it's Louisville or anywhere else, just doesn't work that way.
The things that the city does have the authority and funding to do are rather limited in nature, like down payment assistance. They talked about how there are always more people who show up asking for it than they can actually provide. On the other hand, things like a property tax moratorium or rent control would require state legislative action, which Mayor Fisher said he doesn't expect and has been sort of turned down on before. So between those two sort of options, it seems like there's not much that's policy-driven that we can expect to see be put in place as we're seeing changes in West Louisville.
And I think it's fair to say that prior to, you know, giving the green light to all of this development in the West End, the city knew that their hands were tied sort of by the state on some of this stuff, like a property tax moratorium. So what's missing is sort of what we didn't hear, I think, in our interview with the mayor was sort of the out-of-the-box ideas of how to address potential displacement in the West End.
Right. What we didn't hear was, here are some tools that could help us, but we know they're not available to us, so here are some other ideas we came up with. It was that other ideas part that was missing. They did come back to us to express interest in and support for a community land trust, which is basically the way that it works is that a community entity, a group of people, creates a trust which purchases land and uses it to keep property affordable. And the way that that works is that, say, you're a homeowner and you purchase a home that's on property owned by the community land trust, you would only own the house, not the land that it's on. And due to that and some legal restrictions that are put into place, it would keep that home affordable in perpetuity. Here's Laura Grabowski from the Vacant and Public Property Administration again.
What a community land trust does is it stops in time the price of a particular piece of land that has a building on it. If the property values around start to increase based on investment and amenities, that property or that set of properties will remain affordable.
But we don't have community land trusts here. No group has said they plan to start one. And even if someone did, they take a few years to get set up.
We see ourselves as, as trying to champion this. But in the name Community Land Trust, this is not something that the city is going to start ourselves. It's not a city land trust. It's a community land trust.
James Fraser is a researcher who works on urban development and housing policy. He's studied gentrification in Nashville.
Really good things have happened here in many ways, but those good things have primarily been for people who are more middle class.
We asked if he thinks Louisville could avoid displacement.
Definitely. I think any city can do it. The types of policies that would have to be put in place to allow people to stay in place are going to need to be more robust. So if we just allow the market to dictate housing and where people live, then you're probably going to see gentrification over time.
A few weeks ago, we talked about all this with Josh Poe, the redlining researcher.
So the price increase is already underway.
Mm-hmm.
Is this an unstoppable train at this moment?
It's an unstoppable train in the sense of there are no market solutions to this. The public sector has to intervene and sort of harness the market and harness capitalism to protect people from that investment. We have this idea that everyone has the same relationship to investment, and it doesn't happen that way. Investment's not a tide that lifts all ships. So we have to contextualize the idea that it's the government's job to protect people from the market if they're being harmed by it, if they just are simply priced out. Then there has to be some public mechanism to keep people in their homes and keep people from being homeless while this is happening, while we're realizing, you know, unimaginable profits for another group of people.
So there aren't any market solutions to prevent displacement. And the city doesn't have many options either. Here's Kathy Hinko from the Metropolitan Housing Coalition.
If we don't focus on the people there being able to live there, then we are going to not be integrating but colonizing West Louisville. And where are the people who live there now going to go? The ones who fiercely love their neighborhoods and want to stay there, and whose support systems are there, and their churches are there, and their family is there. I call it a diaspora. We are going to uproot communities and send them off, and that has happened elsewhere. It is not something I'm making up. In fact, it's a tragedy that we haven't learned from the last 40 years of the history of gentrification. I worry a lot. I keep saying, where's the plan, where's the plan, where's the plan?
That's the question we wanted to answer with this episode. But we still can't.
Here Today is produced and reported by Amina Alahi, Laura Ellis, Jonice Franklin, and Kaylin Jackson. Our theme song was composed by Kojin Toshiro. Website and data reporting by Alexandra Kanick. Special thanks to Elizabeth Kerrigan for photos and to Ben and Sarah Carter for workspace. You can support Here Today by clicking the link in our show notes and making a one-time donation. You can learn more about the show and follow news and events in the West End at heretodaypodcast.org. From Louisville Public Media.